Well, let's go ahead and get started. I know everybody wants to stay to midnight tonight, but I'm not one who does. So, John, is that all right? Perfect. First of all, I'd like to welcome everyone out to the Central Region RAC meeting. I'm Ron Camp. I'm the chair. And I appreciate Chris last month covering for me on the longest meeting we've had of the year. Good time to be missed, Dean. Thank you very much, Chris.
Sort of welcome.
The board meeting made up for it. Anyway, I'd like to welcome a couple of visitors we have today. We have Carl Hurst, who is previously on RAC, is now on the Wildlife Board attending. Thank you, Carl. And previous RAC member, I'm assuming RAC chairman, Wildlife Board member, and Wildlife Board chairman, John Bear. Did I hit it all?
I was never RAC chair.
Evidently, he skipped a step. But welcome, John, anyway. Yeah, it's okay. I understand that they had an injury up at top and they put you in. I get it. Okay. No problem. But anyhow, let me go over a couple of the procedures here at the RAC. The whole point of the RAC is to be able to have public input on policies or different changes that we may have here in the state of Utah as far as wildlife management. And there is a certain way that we like to do that. And one of those is to have it as organized as possible. I really love it when people put their phones on silent. So we don't have any interruptions with phones. I don't have a problem with people texting or something like that, but when it rings, it's annoying. Also, I try to have a meeting of order whenever possible. And so if there is a question or you have a question, I'd really like you to come up to the mic and state your name and give us your question versus calling out from out here in the audience for two reasons. One, it's much easier to do the minutes when it's spoken to the mic, and the other one is just a sense of order, which seems to work much better. With that in mind, let me go ahead and tell you what the procedure is. If you have or would like to make a comment tonight, please fill out one of these yellow comment cards. They're back on the table back here to my left, and hand them up here to the front. If you just have a question, it's not a big deal, but if you want to speak and have some concerns, please fill that out so we can call on you to speak when that comes pertaining to that. And once you have that opportunity to speak, you have 3 minutes to let us know what your feeling is and what your thoughts are. If you're an organization, a conservation organization, we'll extend that out to 5 minutes if it's a major concern. But the idea behind that is that we'd love to keep this in order and moving as quickly and as efficient as possible. So I appreciate that. So if you do have that, please, we'd love to see the comment cards come up front as soon as possible. But anyway, welcome to, I guess, the last RAC meeting of 2017. It's hard to believe that we're going into the next year soon. And with that, we're going to need to move right along. And why don't we go ahead and have everybody introduce themselves that are on the RAC, and we'll start with you, Ken, and let's work our way around.
Ken Strong, sportsman's rep.
Ben Louder, at large.
Jake Steele, Go Shoot Tribe.
Chris Marvel, public at large.
You skipped one. Go ahead.
Mike Christensen, public at large.
Brock McMillan, sportsman.
George Garcia, Federal Agency, Forest Service.
Joshua Leonard, sportsman's.
Dan Potts, non-consumptive.
Chris Schmitz, non-consumptive.
And we also have Jason Vernon up here representing to DWR and keeping us in line. Thanks, John. Anyhow, at this point, let's go ahead and go for approval for last RAC meeting's minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the last RAC meeting?
Ron, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting and to approve the agenda for tonight.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Okay, do you want me to vote on that? All those in favor? Very good, looks unanimous. Perfect. Let's go ahead and move right in to the Wildlife Board update. If you guys want to sit down and relax a little bit, it was quite a long meeting. I'll bring up my crib notes, kind of speed this along. We had a couple of things on the agenda that we wanted to talk about. One of the ones is, I'm just going to go right down this, is the waterfowl recommendations and amendment. That was passed unanimously by the board. Also, the taking of non-game mammals rule amendment was also passed unanimously. And the one that took a little bit longer here was the Bucks Bulls in once in a lifetime. That was quite a large bit of information, so let me go ahead and go to the back of my sheet and I'll read through how this went. On the Bighorn Sheep unit in the Oak Creek area, and I believe it was to put Bighorn Sheep into that unit. Is that correct, guys?
To
approve a hunt in that area, right? That was passed unanimously. The new archery only, once in a lifetime, bighorn sheep permits in the Newfoundland and Zions unit actually failed on the board 4-3. The multi-season elk hunt passed 5-1. That is where you can hunt all three seasons if you pay a fee of $150. The early rifle deer season passed 4-2 with the exception of the Panguitch unit. That was withheld. I believe there were some concerns about the fire that we had this last year down in that unit. the late season deer muzzleloader hunt was discussed quite in depth with that. That was passed unanimously with the addition of Beaver and North Slope and the removal of the Plateau, Boulder, and Kaparowitz units.
Actually, I think that was it failed, and then the second proposal passed.
Yeah, after with those exceptions, what I just said on that, right?
Well, so it was proposed to add it to all units, and that failed, and it just added it to two units that were at $18 to $20 and over objective. So it was consistent with the management plan.
That is correct. Thank you. The bison plan proposal in the book cliffs was passed unanimously with the boundary with a boundary change to remove the wild horse bench in the 9 mile bison unit. Have I said that correctly, guys? There's a map change on that to try to better coordinate the successful harvest of those bison in that area. Cactus buck hunt on the Ponsagant passed unanimously. There was a large discussion on what is a cactus buck and what isn't. And I believe it was still passed on that it was going to be considered 50% velvet on the horns would be considered a cactus buck still. They're not going to measure it all the way up to 48.5 and give you a violation, but it's going to be kind of common sense. If you see a little shred on the top of a buck, it's probably not going to fly. Pretty well sums that up. And the Ponsagant hunt date change to end the hunt on October 31st and adjust the management units if required passed unanimously. And there's still more. Taking big game rule amendments with the exception of cactus buck to be covered at least at 50% passed unanimously. The removal of wild mule deer for domesticated elk facilities. Those would be deer that were inside the domesticated elk fences. I would suggest you read the minutes if you want to know the details on that. But to remove those out of there so they don't have pass any type of disease, that passed unanimously. The statewide pronghorn management plan passed unanimously. The statewide moose management plan also passed unanimously. The Northern Region Deer Management Plans also passed unanimously. The CWMU Management Plan and permit numbers for 2018 passed unanimously. The Landowner Association permits for 2018 passed unanimously, except with 5 elk tags going to the Three Corners and 6 to the Book Cliffs, I believe, is what that change was made. And then the mentor rule passed as written, and that passed unanimously. So I believe that would be our update from the board meeting that occurred last Thursday on the 30th. And we're going to move right along here to our regional update. What? Go ahead, Ben.
Question on that update. I believe that it's... I don't know what the rule is, but I believe that a standard process for the board to, if they deny a recommendation that was a majority vote from the RACs, that went through the RACs, to give us an explanation as to why? Have they done that?
I'm assuming you're referring to the archery?
Yes, sorry, I'm referring to the archery.
I can give it what my understanding was that.
I have my own understanding. I was there.
I know you do.
I know why, but I believe, and maybe our previous chairman, John, can correct me if I'm wrong, but am I right? Is the board supposed to give a back to the RACs an explanation in that?
That was, now. I mean, yeah, until it all started being put out on YouTube. And now if you want to know why anything happened, you go watch the meeting, and
okay.
And that's kind of what we went to when I was
okay.
When I was there, because, I mean, all the discussion and everything, and you can just watch the meeting. Sorry.
Okay, thanks for that, John. I guess we're good then.
Very good. Let's go ahead and turn some time over to Jason Vernon at this point, and he'll give us the regional update. Jason.
All right, thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. As we get going tonight, as the chair mentioned, as Ron mentioned, if you have comments or questions, we will have comment forms back there. We ran short tonight. We're making copies right now, so don't despair. If you need more, they'll be here quickly, and we'll make sure that you're able to get those comments into us. As we get going tonight, appreciate our wildlife manager here tonight. A few of our district biologists weren't able to be here, so I'd like to excuse them at this time, both with deer captures that are going on throughout the region as well as some illness. But along those lines, one of our district biologist, Dennis Sutherland, is retiring at the end of the year. He's got 30 years in with us, so he'll be missed, and we certainly appreciate all that he's done for the division, but especially for what he's done for wildlife. If you know Dennis, he's got a passion for the wildlife, and especially upland game, especially turkeys. So if you see him, congratulate him on a great career, and tell him thanks for what he's done. We have hired to fill behind Dennis, Rusty Robinson. Is Rusty here? Rusty's in the back here. We're excited to have Rusty on. Previously, he was the goat and sheep biologist stationed out of the Salt Lake office. We're excited to have him in the region and look forward to working with him. We do have deer captures underway throughout the region. They're actually statewide. We have a couple spots throughout our region, out on Stansbury Mountains, as well as on Manti and the Wasatch. We're capturing does and fawns to record and track health and mortality. And then again in the spring, the same animals will be captured to see how they did over the winter. If any of the RAC members are interested in getting in and processing and working with us on that, you're certainly welcome. Contact myself or Riley, and we can get dates and times and get you set for that. Another great volunteer opportunity is the trapping program that we have with the Urban Deer Program, and that's starting to get underway here in our region. Over the next several months, we'll be working with the cities of Harriman and Provo to trap and relocate deer that are within their city limits. Of course, we target deer that are year-round residents in those cities and giving them problems. This is one solution that they have to kind of solve their own problem. We do assist them with that, and then we translocate those to augment populations throughout the state that are below objective. Again, if you do want to help with those projects, feel free to get in touch with myself or Riley. In our habitat section, we've had an unusually non-winter up to this point. The weather's been pretty moderate, so our habitat section has been busy out on the ground where they still can get out there. They're partnering on habitat restoration projects with our partners and trying to button up some of the fires that we had this summer as well. For outreach, there'll be a few ice fishing seminars coming up in the region, as well as an ice fishing event. We're still trying to determine where the best place to hold that event is going to be. Well, we're excited for that. In the past, we've typically had that at Strawberry, and we may do that as well again. But stay tuned on that. We'll keep you updated through our website and through social media. And with that, Mr. Chair, that's all I have to report this evening, unless there's any questions from any of the RAC members. All right, thank you.
We don't have a huge agenda tonight, which is kind of nice, actually. And so let me go ahead and just tell you where we're going to go to next. We have Darren that's going to talk to us about the Black Bear recommendations and how this will go as far as the RAC goes. As Darren will do his presentation, then we'll have questions from the RAC itself. And then we will open up questions from the audience. And then at that point, we will go to the comments. And so if you want to come up and ask a question after we open up to the audience, you're more than welcome to. But if you actually have a comment, once again, I'll go back to we need to fill out one of these cards so we can get you up here to do it the right way on a comment. And we also were not going to be doing number six. That was tabled, which was the Mineral Mountain Bighorn Sheep Management Plan. I'm assuming that's going to come at our next meeting. That would be my guess.
Or later.
And so the only thing that we actually have on the agenda tonight will be the Black Bear recommendations, and I'll go ahead and turn the time over to Darren at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate the opportunity this evening to talk about 2018 Black Bear recommendations. I wanted to start out, I know that we've got new members of some of the RACs, and so I thought I'd give just kind of a brief history of bear management in Utah. The mission statement of the Division of Wildlife Resources is to serve the people of Utah as trustee and guardian of the state's wildlife, and so that's our role. In the state, we actively manage black bear populations. That means that we actively manipulate populations to reach management goals. Part of that strategy of active management is hunting. Hunting is a key part of that. It does a few things, among other things. It does some of these things. It helps to build and maintain interest in bear populations. And as I go through the sort of 50-year history of bear management, you can see how that started. It also allows us as biologists to meet our management parameters. And finally, it helps us to address issues where we may have human bear conflict or encounters. In 1967, 50 years ago, black bears were gained protected status in the state. Before then, they were unprotected. You could take a black bear whenever you wanted to, wherever you wanted to, and in any numbers that you wanted to. And one of the reasons, maybe the sole reason, that bears were afforded protected status is because conservationists, sportsmen, asked the legislature to have that done. That was the impetus behind that. People had an interest in bears. They wanted to protect the species and afforded it that status. But even during those first 30 or so years, we didn't have a lot of data on bears. We didn't know much about their life history in the state. And so beginning in the mid-1980s, we began a series of studies throughout the state to look at black bear populations, understand more about their life history and biology. As a result of a lot of those studies that went on in 1998-99, we put a group together called the Black Bear Discussion Group and actually drafted a management plan in the state for how we were going to manage black bears. In 2011, we took a look at that plan. Made some updates, had a committee that met from all different interest groups and talked about that and drafted the Utah Black Bear Management Plan, which is the plan we're currently managing under. That began and took effect in 2012 and will run through 2023. In 2015, we had been through the first cycle of that plan. We did a review of the plan and made some changes and made quite significant changes to hunt strategies and think the way that we do things in the state with bear management. So what does the plan say? This is what the Division of Wildlife Resources uses to manage black bears in the state. The goal of the plan is to maintain healthy bear populations in existing occupied habitat and expand distribution while considering human safety, economic concerns, and other wildlife species. So what's a healthy bear population? We define that as one with proportion of breeding age animals that will maintain population levels consistent with habitat and also maintains genetic viability. And so we take that 30,000 foot goal in the plan, and we drafted with the help of a black bear, the Black Bear Committee management plan parameters. I'm not going to get too far into the weeds on this. I'd be happy to answer any questions that anybody has, but just to kind of explain how we manage black bears. We manage different units according to three different strategies: liberal, moderate, or light. And that depends on what we want black bear populations to do on those units. Typically, liberal harvest units are harvests, are units that have a high density of bears. They may be units where we're experiencing bear depredation on livestock, where we want to try to reduce bear populations. And then on the other end of the spectrum, light would be maybe areas where we want to see bears expand, or there aren't a lot of human conflicts, and so we can let those populations grow. Most units in the state are managed under the moderate strategy, which is kind of a maintain, maybe let grow a little bit, but keep an eye on things. And so within each of those strategies, the triggers, you can see there, in a nutshell, if we're outside the triggers in a positive direction, we recommend more permits. If we're outside of those management parameters in a negative direction, we would recommend a reduction in permits. So all the recommendations you're going to see tonight are within these management plan parameters. Last year, when we went through this, there were six items that were identified in the board meeting that the board asked us to look at in the intervening year and come back, you know, to consider and maybe make recommendations on. And these are them, and I'll kind of go through them and maybe give you a brief summary of how that went. We actually put a committee together, just a group of individuals. We invited individuals from these groups to get together and talk through the issues. Some groups weren't able to make it, but we did have some good discussions. We met a couple of times and went through all of these issues. And so the first was, there was some concern about how we estimate bear populations. You know, when we issue permits, you know, it's helpful to know how many there are. Management parameters are indexes that would indicate, you know, what your trends are and where your population should be going. But we've done a couple of things there. I'll actually present a slide tonight with a population trend. We have calculated, you know, sort of a minimum adult population based on the harvest that we see. And again, that's, you know, I can go into any detail that people might have questions on that if you'd like. Also, we're working with BYU to look at developing a synthetic lure for bears, and it's early stages, but you know, one of the ways that you can estimate bear populations is by a mark or a capture mark recapture method. So you catch a bear, you mark it, however you do that. If you recapture it, you know, based on the captures and non-captures, you can kind of figure out about how many you have proportionally. But one of the things that's made that difficult is that lures sometimes aren't as effective as we'd like them to be. And so they're actually working with some chemists to see if they can isolate some chemicals that can really bring bears in. If we could do that, then we could set up these hair snare type of deals where they come in and they pull hair and get DNA, and you can identify individual bears by DNA. So we're looking at that, and we are calculating. At least, you know, the most useful thing is trend, I think, on what our populations are doing. The next thing was to look at, there were some requests last year that we take the season structure we currently have on the LaSalle's and the San Juan's and apply that to the Book Cliffs. And we looked at that. We had some really good discussions. I'm sure Ben can speak to that. We'll probably get more into that tonight as well. But one thing that we did is we had kind of a compromise season structure that we talked about. We brought that back in, talked to the regions, and we identified a need to really look even broader at season structures across the board. We've got dense bear units where we've really got a lot of hunters that are trying to access, and not just bear hunters, but our other species hunters. And we felt like what we'd like to do is wait. We're going to recommend tonight that we keep the season structures the same for one more year. Look at some of these compromises that we talked about in the group, but also branch out a little bit and look at some other issues. And that way, if we make changes, it would be all in one swoop, so we kind of have, we can compare apples to oranges. That will be our recommendation tonight. The next one was a preference point system. You'll see a recommendation on that as we get through the process. We did talk about that. Another thing that came up during the process last year was the size of packs of dogs. We discussed that, and we felt like a lot of the concerns about pack size have actually been addressed, and they're primarily on units with dense bear numbers where there are a lot of people pursuing and hunting bears. We've made some changes, you know, to the LaSalle's and the San Juan that way. We feel like we have a tool in restricted pursuit seasons if we need to address concerns from the public, so we won't be making any recommendations tonight on pack sizes. We'll just leave things as they currently are. On the LaSalle's and San Juan, we've been running a little bit of an experiment down there where we're limiting pursuit on one unit and allowing a little bit more pursuit on the other. And what the region noticed down there, it seemed like when we had a lot of people pursuing bears, that they were showing up in the middle of summer in places like Moab and things like that. And they wondered, is it pursuit pressure that's kind of pushing these bears out of the mountain, or is it just other factors? And so this is a six-year design. They went light pursuit on one unit. They've done that for 3 years. They're going to flip-flop that. You'll see that in our pursuit recommendations this year. And so they're going to switch from the San Juan to the LaSalle's and take a look at that for 3 more years and just see if there's anything to that. Finally, harvest objective, hunting on units dominated by public lands. The management plan, the wording in the management plan is this, that we try to avoid using harvest objective season structure on units that are dominated by public land. You'll see a recommendation along those lines tonight. Although I will say that, you know, sometimes harvest objective hunting can serve certain purposes other than just trying to get a quota of bears. There are some units where it may actually provide opportunity that you wouldn't get with a limited entry structure. And so but we do go by the plan, and that's kind of the wording in the plan. So we'll make sure we're aware and take a look at that. So that's kind of what we heard last year. Let's move on to where we are this year. So here are hunter harvest numbers since 2014. Statewide success usually hovers around 50% the last 4 years. And the 2017 numbers don't include hunts that were still ongoing after about the end of October. Those were in the process of making recommendations while there's still some hunts going on. But this will be pretty close to where we wind up. And then you can see the actual number of bears that were taken under the statewide harvest. You can see that was about 365 this year. Here's a graph that illustrates kind of the same thing. So on the left-hand side are the numbers of the different parameters here, and then along the bottom you see the years. The orange trend line are the number of permits that we've issued, and if you notice over the last 6 years, you can see in 2015 that bump where we initiated a lot of new harvest strategies, maybe less successful hunts, and permits really went up. You can kind of see the overall trend in permits. The red line here are the total number of bears that have been taken since 1990. You can see that trend line. The next slide is what we talked about with population numbers. So again, this is a minimum adult population estimate. And there are numbers there along the axis. But I think the real take home here is look at trend. And you can kind of see what we think our bear population has been doing since about 2000. It looks like over the last 3 years we may be seeing some leveling, but you can see back around 2008 and 9 we saw something similar. So we'll keep an eye on that. The plan is built so that, you know, if we see a decline, the plan would recommend making permit adjustments accordingly. So anyway, that's our population trend.
Can I ask you a question on that,
But excuse me, let's wait until he gets done with the presentation, then we can have the questions.
We'll have questions afterwards. Thank you. We'll come back to it. This graph shows, so one of the strategies that we use is, you know, when we have growing bear populations and the opportunity for sportsmen to take bears, we want to try to ensure that sportsmen have the opportunity to take advantage of growing populations. And so here we on the red line is the sport harvest since 1990. And the yellow line on the bottom is what Wildlife Services has been taking, or even the division has been taking in depredation situations. So bears taking sheep, bears eating watermelons, sunflowers, that kind of thing. You can see that bottom line has remained fairly steady. They kind of take the same number year after year, but with a growing bear population, sportsmen have been able to take the majority of those additional, take advantage of the additional opportunity we have with additional bears on the landscape. So let's move into recommendations. These are our hunting season recommendations. We'll have a spring limited entry hunt from March 31st to June 1st, 2018. This is a season for using dogs. There's no bait allowed during this season. The next season is a summer limited entry season, and there's a change here. The first season is pretty much the same as it's been before. This is something that came out of the discussion group. What we're recommending is that the bait season begin a week earlier than it did last year, but that there be no early baiting. So essentially, last year you were able to start putting bait out 2 weeks early on that season. This year what we're recommending is that people be allowed to hunt a week early, but not put bait out any earlier. And I think one of the things it does for bear management is that's kind of a critical time for den emergence and seeing sows start to wander with cubs. And we felt like shortening up that pre-bait season but letting people go ahead and take advantage of that extra week when they would have had bait in the field anyway was good for bears and an opportunity that we could recommend. So fall limited entry, no significant changes. This is a bait and dog season, and there'll be early baiting on those fall seasons, 2 weeks. Multi-seasons are just the opportunity for somebody to hunt all of those seasons combined, so the seasons are specific to the units for that. And again, 2 week early baiting on the fall seasons. And then we have units that have alternative seasons. So these are the high bear density units, and they hunt a little bit differently on those. So first of all, in the book list, Bitter Creek South, we're recommending an archery-only hunt from August 6th through September 7th, and then dogs and bait hunt in October through the end of the season in November. On the Book Cliffs Little Creek roadless area, same archery season, but spot and stock only March 31st through June 1st, and again September 8th through November 15th. On the Las Salles and San Juan, dogs and bait season August 11th through September 14th. No dogs from September 15th through the 24th. That's where the limited entry elk season takes place. And then again in November 3rd through November 15th. And a fall spot and stock hunt on both of those units from October 2nd through the 23rd. That's season structure. Now I'm going to go through each individual region. I think probably the thing take home here is just if something changed, it'll be highlighted, and you can kind of see where our recommended increases are. Book Cliffs, Little Creek, Roseless, we're recommending 3 additional permits in the northern region. In the northern region, 2 additional permits on the Chalk Creek Camas North Slope Summit Unit. In the central region, Central Mountains Nevo, an additional 3 permits. On the Wasatch Mountain West Central Unit, we're recommending that change from a harvest objective unit to a limited entry unit, and we're recommending 10 additional permits on that unit. Southeastern region, this is the region that really has most of the bears, and so you see the biggest increases in this region. So Central Mountains Manti, 7 additional, Manti South San Rafael, 7, La Salle's 25, 9 Mile, 9, and San Juan, an additional 25 permits. In the southern region, 2 additional permits on the Beaver, 2 on the Panguitch Lake and Zion, 2 on the Ponsagon, and 1 additional on the Fish Lake, Thousand Lakes. General pursuit seasons are there. They'll be the same. We're recommending the same seasons as last year, just adjusting for the calendar. Restricted pursuit seasons on the Book Cliffs and the La Salle and San Juan units, we're recommending those dates. In addition, so we talked about preference points for restricted pursuit seasons. When we got together with the group, we realized quickly that a preference point system would mean essentially a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity on these units, because there's no, if you don't have a point, you don't draw, and the waiting period would be pretty substantial. So we felt like a bonus point system would be a better way to go. It would give people more of an opportunity to draw those restricted units. But along with a bonus point system, it comes with a 2-year waiting period. So we're recommending that we do that, and we'll amend the rule. This is the bonus point drawing rule to add black bear restricted pursuit permits to that rule. Some additional rule changes, and these are a little bit last minute, but this comes out of the last board meeting. So at the big game meeting, some changes were made to archery and crossbow equipment, and what we're proposing here is that those changes be reflected in the black bear rule as well. That way, we want to keep things consistent across the board. So the change would be going from a 40-pound minimum draw weight to 30-pound. It removes the barrel weight requirement. And then, again, the crossbow, you remove the 14-inch draw length and the 18-inch stock. And since we had the rule open, there were a couple of other small adjustments we made. There's some language in there about waterfowl and upland hunters carrying legal weapons in the field. We fixed some numbering issues there. We removed any reference to prima facie evidence and exchanged that for probable cause. And if you're curious about that, I'd be happy to explain it. But it's a lawyer thing, and I'm not a lawyer. And finally, we added a citation in the drawing rule to discuss bonus points, just to kind of refer back to the other rule. So here's the summary. This is what we're recommending for next year. Change the summer bait season to May 26th through June 29th with no early baiting season. According to the management plan guidelines, 860 total bear permits. That's an increase of 102 permits over last year. The bonus points for restricted pursuit seasons with two-year waiting period. And archer and crossbow changes to reflect the big game rule changes. And that's all I've got.
I can move in.
Thank you, Darren. Appreciate the effort you put into that management plan. And I'd like to open it up to the RAC for any questions. Chris?
Thanks, Ron. Darren, I just had a couple of questions. So you talked a little bit about the performance metrics or management strategies that are found in the plan.
Right.
You mentioned that all of the recommendations were within those metrics. I didn't see any literature, though, or any information on a unit by unit, you know, what the supported those increases, specific, you know, particularly with the amount of tags that were increasing statewide, which is roughly 14%. Do we have any metrics or anything that you can show us to kind of support those recommendations unit by unit?
I do. If you want, we can go through the ones that increased, or if you have specific units that you're curious about.
Well, I think LaSalle, if I'm remembering correctly, had like a 25 permit increase,
right,
for example.
Right.
Why is that?
So, again, LaSalle and San Juan and the Bookcliffs are the three units that have the biggest density of bears. And so,
sure,
on the LaSalle specifically, and I can make this, I probably should have made this into a handout or added to the pack. On the LaSalle's, they're managing under a moderate harvest structure, so they're in one of those middle groups. So there are two things we look at, percent adult female.
Right.
On the LaSalle's, adult males in the harvest is 49.5, which would put it into a light strategy. The percent females 26.2, which again would be in a light strategy. So both metrics are out in a positive direction. And so the plan would say that we would increase permits 20-40%. And so that's between 24 and 50 total permits. So they're recommending within that range. One of the challenges that we're looking at, one of the things we want to look at next year down there is that's a lot of people to put on a unit. This year, the bulk of those are going into that spot and stock hunt, which is a low success hunt. But we feel like if we could look at structure there and maybe divide that up, we might be able to get more people in the field during higher success hunts. And LaSalle's is one example of that, but there's other units in the state where we kind of like to look at that. So hopefully that
it helps it
a little,
you know,
bit.
It would you know, it's nice, it's helpful when we go through these recommendations, you know, to be able to support, especially such a big tag increase, at least for me,
right,
you know, to be able to look at that, you know, and I won't make you go through them all, but
that's fine. And right, maybe I think I'll make a note next time. I'll provide that chart to the RAC so you guys can kind of see what we were looking at when we made recommendations.
So what you're saying, Darren, is all the recommendations you're making are consistent with the management plan.
So if there's an increase, it's outside in a positive direction, and then we have kind of a bracket that we make those recommendations within. And you know, as a general rule, we want to provide opportunity where it's available, and units where we have specific concerns about livestock we recommend within the parameters, but we maybe go a little bit on the high end just to handle some of those problems.
All right. Thank you, Darren.
Sure.
Ken.
Quick question. On the way here tonight, I received a phone call telling me that there was 17 bears that were killed in the watermelon fields down at Green River this year. Can you elaborate on that, or is that close? Or
I don't have a specific number for bears that were taken in specifically there. I know that they had a lot of bear problems down. I think Dustin Mitchell was working something along that number of bears, but he's also trapping and moving. With that late frost we had last year, a lot of the mast crop, the berries and acorns didn't come on, and those guys were scrambling to figure out places to put bears that were showing up in watermelon patches and sunflower fields and things. So we did take, they did take some of those bears because they couldn't keep them away. But they moved a lot too, and I can see if I can find a number from the region for you. I don't know exactly what they wound up lethally removing as opposed to. I know I've seen from Wildlife Services probably four, but you know I kind of get stuff as it moves through the system that specifically were taken because they're in doing agricultural damage. But I know there were a lot of bears that were showing up in places that they don't normally if they have food on the mountain.
Well, that's okay. I was curious because he mentioned that there was 17, and I didn't know how accurate that figure was. But
yeah, I have a figure by unit of how many Wildlife Services took, again we try to. I know that they had some hunters. Take some bears that were causing. They called them and said, "Hey, we've got this bear that's eating watermelons. Could you come and take it?" And we usually try to do that if we can get someone there quick enough to handle the problem. That'd be our preference. So, and if you remember the graph that kind of showed the sport harvest, that would include those bears. And so we try to get sportsmen out whenever we can. But overall, Wildlife Services took about 50 bears this year across the state.
Yeah, with the increase in sports harvest, and the increase in population, what is the increase of nuisance complaints been?
Again, this year seemed to be a bear year, and I think it had more to do with that mast crop failure than anything. So we're sensitive to that. We want to keep an eye. We kind of get these blips, and you know when you look at that depredation graph, it bounces all over the place, and so it's seasonal. But at the same time, we try to manage units so we know we have dense bear populations and concerns about private land and livestock under that liberal strategy. So we really are trying to suppress the bear populations on those units. And some of these, you know, permit increases reflect that. So we're managing. We don't want to get rid of all the bears, but we do want to keep the population low and minimize conflicts on those units.
Okay, and one other question, the no dogs on the San Juan LaSalle's during the limited entry elk hunt, is that stipulated in the plan, or is that just a
the plan
recommendation from...
Yeah, I mean, the plan gives us a lot of latitude in terms of season structure, and so that's something that the region recommended through 3 years ago to try to address concerns. I guess one other thing I should have pointed out is that, during that fall season, we had a lot of archery hunters complain this year.
That's what I was wondering.
The region, instead of changing the structure, they opted to reduce permits. So they're actually, they're taking more permits overall, but they're actually moving some of those permits to the spring hunt. And so they'll go from 10 on that fall hunt to 5. And you can see that in your charts, and there's some handouts there. They felt like when they had 5 permits down there, they had less conflict between, you know, guys with dogs and archers. And so that's what we're looking at this year. But we think that, you know, there might be other ways we can address that, and that's kind of the plan going forward next year.
So if there was a change in that went a little bit one way or the other, it wouldn't go against the plan. It would just be within the... Okay, that's
The season structures are pretty... We have a lot of leeway.
So, Mike, a little more clarification on that. He had mentioned the reduction of permits from 10 to 5. This year's, we had 10 permits on that fall hunt. The previous, I'm not sure how many years, we only had 5. So we doubled permits this year, and that's when the increase in complaints happened. When there was 5 permits, there wasn't really an issue.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted clarification, because I've heard, even though it was, I've heard from archers who...
Yeah.
Also, I would want to clarify on that. My understanding is the vast majority of those complaints were on the LaSalle unit,
right?
Not on the Sandwell.
Yeah, we had about 90 people that grabbed a CO in the field and complained, and about 60 on the LaSalles and about 30 on the San Juan, so primarily the LaSalles.
Just a quick follow-up question on these depredation bears. What mechanism does the division use to get these depredation bears taken by sportsmen? I mean, if it's out of season, there's nothing can be done, right? But do you maintain a list and you're actively calling people, or is it a... I mean, I wonder how many more of these bears can be killed by hunters and not farmed out to Wildlife Service.
What we usually do is we'll go with the draw list, and so people who either are, you know, the next person on the list that would have drawn, or we'll call unsuccessful hunters from a hunt that ended. And the division does have authority to, you know, the hunt's over, but, you know, there's a guy that didn't harvest. We can see that in our harvest data. We may call them and say, hey, if you can get here now, we have a bear that we need to have removed, and you got to take the bear, even if it's not a big bear or right. Not the right color of bear or whatever.
So and they are allowed to do that because it's depredation outside of a season or outside.
Right.
Okay.
So either we would be doing that, or Wildlife Services would do that, and it's usually something where we take a hunter and try to find the bear and let them take it. And having said that, you know, if we can't get them there quick enough to address the problem, or it's private land or something like that, then we may opt to either do it ourselves or have Wildlife Services come take it.
Thanks.
And nothing's more fun than hunting with the division.
Right, yeah.
John.
Taking your mom on your honeymoon.
That's right. That's right, baby. Danny.
Yeah, so back to same issue, depredation. So is there a relationship between the age of bears and the problems that bears are causing? In other words, is this primarily much older bears, or is it primarily younger bears?
It seems
a follow-up question too.
It seems to run the spectrum, and I think it seems like if there was a theme, you know, some bears figure it out. And in some years when food is scarce, you know, they'll take whatever they can get. But some bears get good at it, and some bears can kill a lot of sheep in one evening. And it's just a singular bear. So our strategy for depredation is twofold. One is, you know, when we know we've got mixed units, we try to keep the bear population at a reasonable level. But also deal with those individual bears causing problems and take those, because once you remove those, a lot of times, you know, it doesn't continue to occur.
Yeah, it's not really hard to run down a watermelon.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah. And so, yeah, sorry.
Sunflower.
So, and so with that, I don't have a follow-up question. Okay.
Mike. The August 11th start date on the San Juan and the LaSalle's. Would that be a problem to move that earlier, or is there something that would interfere with that?
It's always, fall's tough. But, you know, the most complaints we get are when we put hounds in the field, a lot of hounds in the field, you know, a lot of hunters with hounds in the field during an archery hunt. That seems to be when people, we hear the most complaining from sportsmen. So I guess to answer that, you know, earlier than that, that's something that we looked at in the group. I think it's something that we'd like to have a chance to really look at this coming spring and look at something for next year. But you know, the concerns early, you know, it's hot, and guys sometimes are concerned about running dogs when it's hot. I don't know, you know, we'll have Hanselman, I'm sure, speak to some of that tonight.
Okay, and I'll say why I'm asking that, and that way they can give their input, because I'd love to hear it. If we could, like, if we shifted that forward 5 days and shifted the end date back five days, that would give archers, you know, that kind of that last week of the archery season without hounds present, but not cut the houndsman's time afield. And, you know, you guys can tell me if I'm crazy or not.
Danny.
Slightly different but related. So, you know, we're going into basically like the sixth year of drought. You know, and these omnivores, I mean, seriously, they're just struggling to exist. And so I can understand the take. You know, I can understand it makes common sense to me entirely. However, does that mean that once we come out of this thing and things start looking better, that we're going to pull back the reins and stop increasing the harvest at such a, you know, such a 14? That's a lot. That's a lot of increase.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the plan. We'll manage to the plan, and the plan, you know, has us look at it throughout the life periodically. So as new information comes, we have an opportunity to look back at that. But so the answer is, we'll manage to the plan, and the plan should account for that kind of thing.
Okay.
One
more. Okay, Chris.
Darren, I forgot to ask you. So just to clarify, I know one of the performance metrics was around population growth through DNA. So we're not doing that today? Is that what you're saying?
No, so the performance, maybe we can go back to that.
I don't think you actually had it up there, but it's in the plan, though.
We do look at, if we have the data, we do look at population in terms of birth pulses. And so some regions have sows with GPS collars on them. Yeah. And they visit the dens in the spring and see if they have cubs and measure cubs and things like that. So on units where that data is available, that can enter into the management decision. For most of the units in the state, there isn't sufficient data there, and so that's why it doesn't show up here. So these really are the metrics we're talking about tonight.
I'm just curious, how many units are we doing that on and using the data on?
The La Salle's and San Juan have pretty good numbers of bears. The Book Cliffs has had some good data, and so for some of those we detect birth pulses, and that can enter in to it as well. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
So, what about the Wasatch? That's a slightly different issue, right? But I mean, it's not so much sheep and things like that.
Yeah.
Garbage cans.
There's two units that where they detected a birth pulse, and they detect it once during the three-year period. One was the Wasatch of Inaquin Current Creek, and the other was South Slope Yellowstone.
All right.
So,
that answers.
Ben. Two questions. Darren, on the per the summer pursuit seasons with that pursuit study that we're doing down in the southeastern region, do we have enough data to draw any conclusions on that study yet?
It's, you know, we've run it for 3 years, and we've only done it one way. I talked to Guy. It's going to be a little bit tough so far. They'd like to switch it and go for three more and see. I think this kind of thing, given weather periodicity and stuff like that, it may be too short, but the region would like to do it, and we've committed to go ahead and do that for another 3 years.
And then my next question, since it was just brought up on the Wasatch, we're recommending to go back to a limited entry and eliminate the harvest objective on the spring. Have we found that the last 3 years of that harvest objective hunt that's been successful in what we were trying to accomplish on that unit, and we're to that point then where we can return to limited
entry? Yeah, I think we are, and you know, the increase in permits represents, you know, we're trying to maintain the amount of harvest moving forward, and so when you switch from a quota to a limited entry system, you need to offer more permits just based on success rates. And so that's something we're going to have to keep an eye on to see what harvest winds up being over the next few years.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any more questions from the REC? Open up for questions from the audience. These are just questions, no comment period. If you do have a comment card, will you please hand it up here to the front so I can call you up if you'd like to speak in front of the REC. If you have any questions, I will go ahead and open it up right now for a question. If you have a question for Darren regarding this. When you come up to the mic, if you have a question, please state your name.
John Bear. Darren?
Yeah.
You're doing away with the week of baiting before the season starts. Are you doing that just to ruin my life, or do you have a reason?
John, as you remember, when the two-week pre-baiting season was introduced, we had concerns, and we're worried. The one thing we're worried about is cubs coming into those baits, getting picked up by a pack, and on the 7 o'clock news having dead bear cubs. We also worry about, you know, it's really a critical time. You know, a sow will exit the den, but a lot of times they'll kind of hang around with if they've got cubs, and they don't start making the rounds until later. So we felt like we could let people start hunting a week earlier, and we're comfortable that you know, it gives about a week for that bait to be out there, and bears, you know, it may take them a couple days, 3 days to start finding that. We have less concerns about hounds finding a bait and appearing to run off of the bait, that kind of thing. And so when we discussed it, we felt like the initial proposal was to go ahead and just let people start hunting at the beginning of those 2 weeks and just have it overlap. This is kind of a compromise position to do that. So,
thank
you. Yeah.
Questions? Go ahead and state your name first, please.
Jason Binder. Can you tell me what our bear population is?
Let me explain the population estimate. And I don't know how far in the weeds you want me to get, Jason, but I, you know.
All the way in the ditch.
All the way in the ditch, okay. So there are different ways you can calculate a population of these kind of animals that are hard to observe. You know, you can't fly a helicopter and count them, that kind of thing. You can calculate a minimum population based on the bears you actually get your hands on that are harvested. And the way you do that is if a 4-year-old bear shows up at our office that's been taken in 2017, we know that bear was a 3-year-old bear the year before. We also know that there were a certain number of 3-year-old bears killed the year before that. You just back calculate. So you add that bear to the last year's population, so on, and you can work your way back. That gives you a minimum, because those are real bears that show up at our office that we know. It was 4 years old this year. It was 3 years old. It was on the mountain last year. And you can kind of work back through. Now, where it gets a little bit tricky is our bear harvest tends to be mostly male. People select for males and try to select for older bears. The other thing is that you can only go so far forward into history, because you can only calculate, for example, if you're calculating 5 years back, you know, your estimate is a little bit older. So what we did here is we collapsed the adult age classes. That gets us as far forward in time as we can get. We estimate the number of females based on the number of females that are treed in proportion to the number of males on the landscape. And we're not calculating cubs or yearlings because they tend to be selected against. And obviously cubs, you can't take cubs. And so this is a minimum estimate of adult bears 2 years and older. And it looks like we're floating, you know, just under 3,500 2-year-olds or older, minimum. There's other things that enter into that. We don't take into account natural mortality, bears that die from other things other than hunters that bring them in or wildlife services. And so that estimate can vary depending on what that annual natural mortality is. But what was really critical here is the trend doesn't change. And so even if there are more bears or less bears, the trend is up. Does that make sense?
Yes and no.
Okay. All right.
My other question is, how does the trend not rise when after every year we continue to raise tags? So when we, as we raise tags, the trend's going to go up, but then we just keep raising tags. We've never had a stable year of 2 or 3 years of the same amount of tags to see if the trend stays true.
Yeah. It's based on the ages of animals in the harvest. And so what you'd expect to see if you were over-harvesting, you'd see younger and younger bears, because you tend to take the guys want to, a person wants to take a big, mature bull, or bull, sorry. I slipped back into the region. Hey, yeah, I know. I slipped back into my regional bull. Sorry about that. Or, it's not that late, but I'm getting old, I guess. And so it tends to probably be skewed toward that end. And so that's why one of our management parameters is those old age classes in the harvest. So if we start seeing fewer older age class animals, we cut permits. The other part of the equation is females. If you don't have reproducing females, then your population isn't going to grow. And so if we see those targets fall below our management objectives, then you'd see permits cut. But that's how the plan is put together, and that's how we make decisions about permits.
Okay, and what was the overall statewide female harvest percentage this year?
Uh, 31.4.
Okay, and my next question is, we're talking about the conflict between archery elk hunters and hound hunters.
Right.
If I put in for a bear tag and it takes me 14 years to draw a bear tag, why is an elk hunt that takes 14 years any more precedence over a hound hunter?
Yeah, these are the social things that we have to deal with. So yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I guess, you know, numbers wise there tend to be more elk hunters than bear hunters, but these are all things that we do need to sit down and look at and take into consideration. So
yeah, thank you for your time.
Question. Go ahead and state your name first, please.
My name's Kelly Christensen. I got a question for you on your you was talking about how the acorns and everything froze this year. Have you ever got any data on the numbers rising or declining on a consecutive number of years of a drought? Mm-hmm. I was around back when the study was done on all this Wasatch.
Right.
With all the guys, what's his name? Well, Hal Black and all of them. Mm-hmm. And I know on the years when we had years like this, consecutive years of drought, the sows would go into the dens, bred, never come out with cubs.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of yearling cubs go into the den and starve to death.
Right.
So, like you said, we're going to a 6 year of drought, and then you're adding more tags on these units where there's no feed for these bears, so our mortality rate's going to go way up. Guaranteed it's going to going to happen. You know that if you studied them. So how do you justify giving more tags on years like this? We should give more when there's feed, everything's healthy, the bears are producing more regular. But when you go through 6 years of drought, you're losing a lot of bears every year, mortality. But have you noticed the population is still going up, or is it stabling off?
This is a statewide estimation based on bears that show up, you know, harvested. It'll vary depending on individual units. One thing that we are committed to do is getting more sows collared and getting more data on those birth pulses so we can kind of monitor. Bears are slow reproducing.
Yes. Is there a study still going on at all in any of the units?
No, not currently.
It's all completed.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, an official, you know, university study, we don't have anything going on, but we are, you know, we've got more collars coming. We're planning on putting effort into getting those bears and monitoring over time, yeah.
And another question I have is, like you're talking about on the San Juan, I've hunted it for 30 plus years. And like you said, last year they upped the number of tags to 10. I've been hunting on it the last 3 years with people with tags. And just, and notice the difference. But when you give 10 tags, most of the guys that have a tag, or don't even the guys that own the tag, a lot of them don't have the dogs. But they'll get 3 to 5 houndmen in every camp. So if you got 10 tags and you're 3 to 5, you're 30 to 50 hunters on that unit. And that's where the problem's going. That's where you need to regulate it. If a guy wants to go run a bear for himself, take his dogs out and run a bear. He doesn't have to hire everybody in the state and gather them up and have a hound club field trial down there to run bears. That's where the problem's starting on the LaSalle's and that.
Yeah.
And I have one more problem is the out-of-state pursuit.
Right, yeah. Yeah, those are actually subjects that came up in, you know, that we discussed. I think there's more discussion to be had on those. The Houndsman Association committed to really try to outreach to their members and say, hey, you know what, we need to, it's multiple use, but we don't want to give ourselves a black eye. Let's be smart and I'm comfortable at this point not making regulations if the groups are willing to try and kind of police their own.
Yeah. What about the out-of-state pursuit?
We talked about it. I think we didn't have enough discussion in the group that I'm comfortable making a recommendation yet. But, you know, there's other ideas from other states about how you can do that. So that, I think, is something we'll be talking about this next cycle. So for next year, yeah. And whether we'll recommend anything or not, I don't know.
Well, they should regulate that a little bit because of the guys from out of state, in which I know they want to hunt. In their states, they can't. But when they park a trailer on the mountain from April till June, and there's 8 to 10 in that camp, the in-state hunters, we don't even have a place where we can actually go run a dog. You know, and it's, I just feel like something needs to be done about that.
Okay. Thanks.
Any more questions from the audience? Go ahead and state your name first, please.
Colton Christensen. Do you have a number on increase for non-resident tags that you're proposing for the 102 compared to resident tags?
Yeah. Colton, I might have to do math, and that's a bad thing. But, you know, we can sum it up. I can show it to you, yeah. I don't know if I have a total here, but we can go through the table. You can see. We did, I don't know if you remember last year, but... the board recommended for bear permits that instead of rounding up at 5, we don't give another non-resident tag until we hit 10. That's still in effect this year, and so. But yeah, I'll show this. In fact, the handout, I don't know if you got one, shows how many non-resident permits per unit. So you kind of get a feel for that.
You're asking the biologist to do math.
I know. Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm not an engineer. That's right. Yeah. Only got 20.
You say that you have 90 recorded incidences or whatever you call it about archery hunters, conflict with hound hunters. Do you honestly keep a list of name, where these people are from? Are they resident hunters? Are they non-resident hunters? Are these bow hunters from Utah? Are these bow hunters from Colorado? Are these hound hunters from Utah? Are these hound hunters from Colorado?
We asked the region to track that this year. They indicated they were having a lot of complaints in the field during those hunts. I don't think, you know, we kind of have a lot of that breakdown we don't have, Colton. I think we could talk to the region and kind of get a better feel for, and to be honest, sometimes they probably didn't know. They just had an archer come up and say, hey, you know, this is happening and I'm not happy. You know, there may be an opportunity to do a survey or something like that, maybe get a better feel for what's going on.
I feel like there's a lot of I don't knows in the, excuse me, the hound hunter archery conflict there. Do you have any hound hunters complaining about too many archery hunters getting in their way, shooting dogs, harassing camps? Any conflict from the other end?
We do hear. Yeah, we hear it from both sides, yeah. And in fact, well, yeah. Yeah, we hear from houndsmen, too.
So how many on record hound hunters do you have complaining about too many archery hunters?
I don't have a number.
Can you tell me what the dollar amount is on a limited entry bull elk tag?
What it costs?
to actually pay for the permit once you've drawn?
You know what? I don't know off the top of my head, but it's in the guidebook.
Just curious to know the number on the dollar amount between a limited entry bull elk and a limited entry bear. Jason stated, how do these elk hunters have more say than a hound hunter? They love the sport. We love the sport. Because there's $400 amount on a limited entry bull tag and an $83 amount on a bear tag that gives them more say. How many limited entry elk hunters are here that have hunted in the last 5 years and drawn a tag? Raise your hand, please.
You're looking the wrong way.
So we've got three. How many limited entry bear tag holders in the last 3 years are here?
Same person. That's good.
That's it for now. Thanks.
Yep. That's great.
One more question.
Sorry. Sorry. Is anyone from the Hound Club here that's actually a chairman or something other than just a member? A higher level of Hound Club member here? Please raise your hand. Thanks.
Okay. I'm assuming we don't have any more questions from the audience. I do have some comment cards here. On the comment cards, if you're an organization, you can limit your talk to 5 minutes, please. And on the individual, please limit your comments to 3 minutes. And once again, we're going to go up at the mic again and go ahead and state your name once you get here. The first one I'm going to call up is Rodney Smith, and he's with the Utah Houndsman Association. So, Rodney.
How are you doing today? My name is Rodney Smith. I'm representing the Utah Houndsman Association. And bear with me because I am not a public speaker. So Dan Calcane couldn't make it today. So I'm just going to read. I handed out several. Did you guys all receive the memo I handed out, recommendation?
I don't have it. Do you have another copy?
Here you go. Okay, the Utah Houndsman Association had representatives, attendees to the Bear Committee this year. It was consisted of Dan Davis and Guy Webster, discussing the bear management plan, social issues, and strategies for the upcoming 2018 bear season. The Houndsman Association supported the DWR's 2018 bear hunting recommendations. They also have they also had, okay. In addition to that, the Utah Houndsman Association requested the following changes be made to the current 2018 recommendations. One being the LaSalle's, the San Juan, and the Book Cliffs fall season dates for 2018 change the following. August 6th through November 16th, with hound hunting restrictions from August 18th through August 24th and to September 8th to September 25th. So that might answer your question about the dates on the first week and the last week of the archery hunters. So, let's see. It should be noted that the fall season dates above have been discussed in the Bear Committee in great deal of length and supported unanimously by the attendees. The Utah Houndsman Association, these season dates, the Utah Houndsman Association believes that these will drastically reduce complaints, increase harvests, and provide more opportunities for the sportsmen. So, in addition to that, these recommendations, we also had the SFW support these recommendations and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And the reason being is they conflict on the mountain. You know, we don't want any, we want to support all the bow hunters out there, and we want them to support us as well. So is there any questions, or I can try and answer anything from anybody? So, but that's all I had from the Houndsman.
Yeah, I've got one question for you before you, and thanks for
delivering that. So in your proposal, you're suggesting no hounds from August 18th through the 24th, correct. And September 8th through 25th.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Just one question before you take off. The question about the five-day move forward, I mean, as a way to potentially mitigate conflict. Right. Can you explain a little more, like, how much does that affect time and field for a houndsman? I mean, is it...
I mean, I've had the limited pursuit, and I was actually out to the Book Cliffs, I believe it was last year, 2 years ago. Anyways, I never turned out my dogs just because of the heat factor.
The heat.
You turn your dogs loose, and I'm not going to lose an expensive dog just because of, you know. So that's that's one thing on the Book Cliffs is that restricted pursuit. A lot of people generally put in for the LaSalle's because it's a higher elevation, it's cooler and stuff like that. So, yeah. Like I said, you just don't want to, all these houndsmen are afraid to turn out their dogs just because they don't want a heat stroke and lose a dog out there.
Yeah.
So,
thanks for clarifying that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next up is John Bear representing SFW. Mr. Bear.
Thank you, John Bear. Appreciate your presentation, Darren, and I appreciate the time here at the RAC. Enjoy it. It don't last long. It won't be long, and you won't matter at all either. So, it happens. So, SFW supports the division's recommendation, and with one exception, and that is to go ahead and incorporate the Houndsman Association's proposal. One thing. On the conflict, there's I can think of many times hunting elk where I've had troubles with other hunters. One time was it a hound hunter, the other 500 times it was another elk hunter. I've had many more, and I've had many more run-ins when I was hound hunting with other houndsmen, yeah, than I ever did with elk hunters. So, a couple complaints. I mean, we looked at this a couple years ago. A lot of the complaints were from the same guy calling 30 times because he's an ass. So, a few complaints does not a crisis make. If we're going to make changes and put one species and one season over another, I mean, I understand if it's just an obvious disaster, we got to do something. Okay, but because somebody calls in and stirs the pot a little bit, I mean, it's your job to look at that. I understand that. I've been there. But make sure, if we're going to change it, if we're going to cost people opportunity, whether it's houndsmen or it's elk hunters, let's make sure it's a crisis first. And I know that finding that balance, is the hard thing to do. It's the hard thing to do. And it's an easy decision until it's your decision, that I understand. But, these guys, I make it a point not to agree with Jason, but I'm going to agree with him on that one thing, that if a lot of the conflict is, just because it's an elk hunter and a hound hunter, why does the hound hunter have to lose? So let's make sure we're fair at that. So let's thank you for your time.
Speaking to the audience like always, John. Is it Sadie Young? Sadie? You're done? Okay. Well, I appreciate your comments, though. Thank you. We'll have Jason read those into there, because he loves to read in the mic.
Is it the Wasatch Caps? The Wasatch Caps program supports the division's proposal as presented and would like to thank Riley Peck and Dale Lichty for taking the time to hear our opinions on recommendations. That's Sadie Young.
Thanks, Sadie. Let's go with Chet Young. Chet is speaking for himself, I believe.
Yeah, I'm speaking for myself, Chet Young.
I'd just like to thank Del Lichty and Riley Peck for giving me a little time in their office before these started and kind of go through. I support the recommendations, the division's recommendations. I told Riley I'd kind of come talk because we're going to see an increase on tags on the spring bear hunt on the Wasatch, but it's going to a limited entry. I think it'll help a lot with the problems and so many houndsmen out there. You should still get the same bear harvest, but instead of having 300 people after them bears that you're trying to kill, you're going to have 30. So, thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate your comment. Kelly Christensen.
You kind of answered one of my questions before I wrote that down, and that was on the harvest objective up here on the Wasatch. I'd like to propose you do away with all harvest objective. All you're doing is lining the pockets of the outfitters of this state. There's unlimited numbers of tags sold. They have 200 to 300 come in per day, per week. All you're doing is lining their pockets. You're not doing any more but making them rich and hurting the guys that are out there just trying to hunt for ourselves and enjoy the sport. And another one, I wish you would look at the out-of-state pursuit a lot more. That's one of the biggest problems on them two units you talked about that there is, by far. By far.
Thank you for your comment. Next up would be Bill Toppin.
He's not here.
Okay. I'll go ahead and just read this real quick. His agenda topic was number 5. He would like to state that he would like to see no increase on bear tags. Once again, that's Bill Toppin, T-O-P-H-A-M. Mike Edelson, is that right? He is also not here. He would also state the same, that he would like to see no increase on bear tags. And that's Mike, it looks like it's E-D-U-E-L-S-O-N. And then I also have a comment card from Tony Bettis. He is also not here. Same result on agenda topic 5, no increase on bear tags. Once again, that's Tony Bettis, B-E-T-T-I-S. And next up, I know he's here, I believe, is Darren West with the Mule Deer Foundation. Darren?
Yeah, Darren West, Mule Deer Foundation. Darren, thanks for taking the time to put that together and presenting that to us. Heard several things from the houndsmen that I do believe are need to be heard, but as the Mule Deer Foundation, we do support the plan as presented by the division. Thank you.
Thank you. I also have a card from, is it Jason Binder? Binder? Did I butcher your name?
That's all right. It's Jason Binder.
I was right.
Yeah, you were right the first time.
That happens.
My name is Jason Binder. I've been in front of many of you a lot of times through the years. I'd really like to thank Riley and the guys that worked hard on proposing to put the Wasatch back to limited entry rather than harvest objective. Just, it's been a joke up there, and it'll be really nice to have that back where it needs to be in the parameters of the management plan. I have a really hard time with the other 92 tag increase, so I look at the trends. The tag numbers go up every year. The harvest number goes up every year. Somewhere we need to find a balance. We need to level the tags out somewhere and then see what the trend does. Increasing tags every year, of course the trend's going to come up, and we're always going to meet the parameters because the tags are always increasing. We need to keep the tags the same they were last year and leave it for 3 years and see where the trend goes, not keep increasing tags because the numbers always fit within a certain parameter. The sow harvest, it is a little lower this year, but the tags were also raised last year. So somewhere along the lines, as a rack, I'd like to see you guys propose that we balance the tags out. Let's stay with an even number for a few years till we see actually what the trend in the population and the harvest is. We have no clue. I mean, we can manipulate numbers in a computer by raising tags, but it's not true fact. And I would also like to disagree with the houndsman proposal of changing the hunting season. Leave the hunting season the way it is. Everybody just has to be on the mountain and get along. Everybody's tag's just as valuable as yours. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I do not have any more comment cards. I'll make a comment myself for a second. I do believe that we do have some data, and that would be the percentage of harvest versus tags, and that seemed to be fairly level. If I looked at the chart right earlier tonight, it looked like it was up actually last year, higher than the year before, even with the increase of tags. And so when I look at the number of people that are actually out hunting, and if that percentage is, the more hunters, you're going to have to kill more bears to get that percentage to stay the same or go up. My own personal experience in hunting up in the Chalk Creek area, we've set bait and had 9 different bears hit one bait. And so I think it's extremely difficult to actually put a total number of bears we have in this state because of the elusiveness of the bear. But if I was going to guess, I'd probably guess on the side of we probably underestimate more than overestimate the number of bears we have in the state, in my own opinion. I'm going to turn it back over to Rack. Any questions for Darren, guys?
Comments.
Or comments. You can do that, too. Do a comment.
Yeah, so I had several concerns. Thanks for the hard copies, by the way.
Yeah.
You've answered all my questions. My main concern was the relationship between younger and older bears and depredation issues. I am a little bit concerned that the depredation harvest by hunters continues to go up, and yet I can't square that with everything. Right. Can you respond to that a little bit?
I think maybe you
do understand where I'm coming from, right?
Yeah, I think maybe this slide is a little bit confusing.
It is.
So let me just really quickly. Is this the one you're talking?
Yes.
So the red line is sport harvest. So not all of that is depredation related. In fact, probably
Got
a small
it.
Portion of that is depredation related.
Okay, that's so it's just misleading.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. And the yellow line are bears that are either taken by wildlife services or are people that are in depredation situations. And so the point I was trying to make with the slide is just that, you know, we try to keep that level, and if we have a growing bear population, that the sportsmen get to take those bears.
Okay, thank you. And then also, my issue with the drought and these conditions is that, you know, we're kind of harvesting, if you will, a surplus relative to the resource. And so, I was going to try to split the vote, but I've changed my mind just having heard what your response is. So, anyway, we're good.
Darren, could you tell us why you're not following the recommendation of the sportsmen's groups?
There's nothing wrong with the recommendation. We took it and we had a good discussion. There wasn't a whole lot of argument, but when we brought it back internally and started thinking about, and again, I guess maybe it helps to point out that we're just talking about the book cliffs with this season structure. The southeastern region was there, and they kind of looked at it and said, you know what, some of these ideas we kind of like, and we might want to incorporate that. We also had some other issues come up during our discussion. We felt like it's a bigger issue than just those hunts, and there are other season parameters or structures that might make more sense for a unit, like the La Salle's or the San Juan, where we've got a lot of bear hunters trying to all use the mountain at the same time. And so our recommendation is this is the third year of our second cycle, take the 3 years worth of data, take a look at what's happened over this new structure, take that into account, look at season structures across the board, and then make any changes that we want to make all in 1 year, beginning with the next cycle. And so that's why we're recommending that we stay largely the same this year. We feel like there's more discussion that needs to be had, and we probably want to make more changes than just that. So
Darren, wouldn't this 2018 be the start of that next 3 year period?
Yeah. It would, Ben. And I'll take responsibility for some of that. You know, this is my... I started in this job.
Sure. There's a learning curve, for sure.
So, you know, some of that stuff Probably should have happened earlier in the year, but we're kind of where we are. So,
Ron, if I could take a minute just to address this the Houndsman proposal. I was fortunate to sit on that on the Bear Committee with Darren, and SFW had representation, RMEF, the Houndsman. There's Byron from the Wildlife Board was there. And a lot of that discussion was centered around that bookless fall hunt, and I want to add some color to this. There's a real issue out there right now. The Houndsman approached me about it last year, over a year ago, last October, and the issue is so. Stepping back 3 years for a little history, there was an issue, and from a bow hunting perspective, from a Utah Bowman's Association membership, the Bookless is unique and is the only unit I've ever received complaints from membership about conflicts with hounds during the archery hunt. Okay, and so stepping back 3 years, we removed hounds from that time period, right, to try to address those issues. And so obviously there's been no complaints for the last 3 years because there's been no hounds there during that archery hunt. But what the issue is now, and this is what the Houndsman approached me about, is when we change the season, the fall bear season now starts coinciding with the general season rifle elk hunt. And I think it was largely missed when it was implemented that that was the case. And so now the Houndsmen are in this struggle of they went out there to hunt bears and realized, being out there, that they're going to be dumping dogs on how many general season elk hunters, right, and just didn't feel comfortable doing that. So in my opinion, they've been kind of self-regulating, trying to keep those conflicts down. But they approached me and they've approached the division and saying, there's an issue here. We want to move this date so that we're not conflicting with, you know, that many hunters. So I believe there's a real issue there and it needs to be addressed. And that's where this proposal came from. This is what we came up with in that bear committee. And the compromises here are, and then to me, this compromise, or this plan that was created from that committee, in my opinion, is a win for all groups. And the reason why is that it implements a very long bear hunt in the fall out there on the Book Cliffs, or as they're proposing, Book Cliffs San Juan LaSalle, starting in early August and going through mid-November. So for somebody who wants to spot and stalk or hunt, or hunt over bait, it's a very long liberal season, lots of opportunity. Also, it's a lot of opportunity for the Houndsmen. If you look at their current fall dates on the book list compared to what this proposal brings, they're gaining a lot of time in the field. Josh, you had asked that question. And then the other thing you see here is a hound restriction, which the Houndsman Association were happy to abide by. For the first 7 days of the archery hunt, which on the book list we felt gives an opportunity for the archery deer hunters out there, right, to have some time without hounds. The last 7 days of the archery deer elk hunt, which we designed that to address limited entry archery elk hunters. You know, that last week of the archery elk hunt is kind of that prime week of that hunt. And then the entire limited entry rifle elk hunt, which in our discussions we learned was where the majority of the complaints were coming from, was during that rifle elk hunt, the limited entry. And then a few days into that muzzleloader elk hunt. So I understand that the division's not comfortable addressing this at this time. And as Darren said, the southeastern region was involved in these discussions, and they did say that they liked this idea for San Juan and LaSalle as well. Personally, I think it's a great compromise. I'm disappointed that the division isn't ready to move forward with it, and I don't. And Darren and Justin and Bill and I have sat down and discussed this at length, and I still don't know that I quite understand why we're not ready to move forward. In my opinion, this is a solid proposal. So I'm sorry, taking a lot of time, but I felt that explanation was worth the time for this rack to hear. And
dang it, Darren, you got Ben all worked up.
And let me come back. Darren's been great to work with. So Darren and Bill and Justin, they're all great to work with. So whether we address this now or kick the can to next year, I really would like to see it addressed sooner rather than later, because I know there's a real issue out there. And we're coming into the next three-year cycle of the BEAR plan, which was implemented. The intention of when the BEAR plan was implemented is a 12-year plan, but the intention was to implement it in three-year cycles. 2018 is the first year of the next three-year cycle. So for what that's worth, I'll leave that to the RAC for further discussion.
Quick question on that, those dates, since I gave you my copy on that. Is that going to also affect the heat problem in the Book Cliffs as far as the hounds go?
Well, that would put them being able to run in early August, and I mean, obviously, it could be very hot out there.
Exactly.
It allows them to run clear into November 16th.
Right, so it gives them a little bit of opportunity to run in the fall.
Gives a lot of opportunity because they've got some opportunity
not
in August.
In that heat.
They've got some opportunity in September. They've got all of October, and they got half of November. So, and it removes the opener coinciding with the. General season elk hunt.
We have hounds in there during the general season elk hunt?
Yeah, so when we first implemented this last three-year plan, those season dates started on the exact same day, that Saturday. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, we changed that to where the hounds season opens on the Monday prior rather than the Saturday, but it's still kind of that same time frame. And that's where the houndsman issue came from is that potential conflict there. So,
thanks for that explanation, Ben. So we've currently got two proposals on the table as far as at least related to the LaSalle, San Juan, and Book Cliffs has been talked about. Jason, you're right. You've spent a lot of time here. So I'd like to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind, particularly about your concerns. So here's what I'm seeing, and I'd like to understand. So for LaSalle and San Juan, it's a little different for the Book Cliffs, but for now, let's just talk about LaSalle and San Juan. It looks like this proposal adds roughly 6 to 7 weeks to the hunt.
I never saw that proposal, so I didn't understand that was. So I don't really have a problem with that part of it.
So what I'm seeing is, what I'm seeing is you're adding 6 to 7 weeks to the overall hunt for the time that you can be out chasing bears. What you're giving up is 2 weeks during the elk hunts to get 6 to 7 weeks.
Yeah, I've never seen that proposal before, so
I see.
That's why I wasn't in agreement with it. So
yeah, I'd love to hear the concern.
6 or 7 weeks. Come up to the mic.
Yeah, would you mind coming up to the mic?
And them last few 3 to 4 weeks of that bear hunt is totally useless with dogs. Them bears are in the den by end October, 99.9% of them.
So what I'm seeing being
by
added...
By your studies, and they'll even show that.
So I just want to make sure we're on the same page. So what I'm seeing being added is 5 days to early August.
Now, that would be good.
The last week of September, all of October, and a few days in November, with this proposal, is being added.
Okay, to the bear. Let me ask a question. That all of October, you're saying we're going to be able to run hounds through the rifle deer hunts and stuff?
Correct.
That's the way it's proposed.
Yes.
Can we see a graph of that? No.
I don't know if we've got a slide, but yeah, I don't know that we have a slide, but that's what's being proposed.
So, and that's Chris. Also, to clarify, so when we're talking about the difference in this proposed plan to the current dates on San Juan and LaSalle are different than the current dates on the Book Cliffs.
Right, that's
the Book Cliffs are kind of
their
own.
I'm saying up front. Okay. Let's just talk San Juan and LaSalle.
Okay, sure.
Okay, that's saying running dogs during October during the rifle deer hunt.
That's correct.
Dogs are bait or spot and stalk only. It's showing dogs.
Dogs restrictions is only adding 2 weeks to the current restrictions.
They're only restricting dogs during the first week of the archery hunt and during the
last week of the archery hunt.
Full rifle elk hunt
and a couple days.
But wide open hunt. During the deer rifle, you're going to talk conflict.
I need to make that point. When we discussed this again was primarily a discussion about the Book Cliffs. The Southeastern region expressed some interest in some of the ideas, and primarily those early fall. I think we're asking for trouble if we introduce new hound hunts during late season big game hunts on the La Salle and San Juan.
Let me ask you a question to that point, Darren. So I'm hearing Chet over here say he feels like the houndsmen with that much time would be able to spread themselves out quite a bit. Do we anticipate an issue with all of a sudden a rifle deer hunt, for example, general deer hunt, or a rifle deer hunt being a popular time to run hounds?
Well, that, and again, that's why my position isn't that any of these ideas are necessarily bad.
Uh-huh.
We just felt like a lot of these issues we actually recognized after the group met and felt like we need to talk about this more. We need to talk about maybe splitting hunts up on those on the La Salle and San Juan, and that might alleviate some pressure and allow more opportunity. But just given the time frame, we didn't feel comfortable putting all that together, and it may require some surveys and things like that to do. So again, our recommendation would be, let's keep it the same. Let's look at all these issues, out of state hunters, all of those issues, and do, you know, make all the changes at once, and then we have a new 3-year cycle. Ben's right, it would put us a year off of what the plan recommends, but we feel like we could come back with a better, more thought out recommendation.
So I just want to make sure I understand your concern, because Darren, because what I'm hearing, what I'm trying to sift through before I personally make up my mind on this, is I'm hearing the houndsmen get additional time in the field. I'm hearing elk hunters get more time on these specific units where elk hunters seem to have a lot of anxiety about it, get more time without hounds.
Right.
And deer hunters as well by default, at least on the archery hunt. So what specifically is your concern with this proposal?
There's a couple things. One thing I think that we figured out is the La Salle and the San Juan and the Book Cliffs are kind of apples and oranges. There's different things going on. And so currently, you know, we are seeing complaints on the La Salle and San Juan with those overlapping hunts. And so the region addressed that by reducing tax.
So, sorry, Darren, yeah, which overlapping hunts?
The specifically the archery hunt. So right now on the La Salle and San Juan, the hound and bait fall hunt overlaps entirely with the deer and elk archery seasons, and then it shuts off, and you can only hunt with bait during the any weapon limited entry any weapon.
But see, with elk, this proposal, that actually alleviates some of that.
Yeah, this is
problem.
Different, and that's why I think the region said, you know, there may be something there, but they needed more time to look at all the nuances. They wanted more time to look at more at the nuances. Now, on the Book Cliffs, we currently don't have any hunting during the archery seasons, and we don't get complaints. Right. The complaints, as Ben pointed out, is from the houndsmen on the back end, where they feel like they're in the field with, what did he say? What did Dan say? 1,000 orange soldiers.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of conflict there. That the region, you know, talking to Dax and Clint, some of those later hunts, you actually start to get a separation between bears and big game, and they're more comfortable, and they do have that later hunt because of that. They feel like, you know, bears stay high later in the season while deer and elk kind of roll down, and there isn't a lot of overlap in time and space. But having said that, you know, houndsmen did express concerns about having to hunt late with spike hunters. So.
All right. Thanks, Darren. I appreciate it. So, you know, from my...
It seems like that proposal, according to the gentleman that spoke, was supported by the groups.
Yes, it was supported by the SFWMDF.
Right. Yeah. So
we have a lot of support behind this recommendation.
Right. Yeah. So from my perspective...
Chris, let me add one more thing real quick. I've got the proposal and the division's proposal here. Let's talk tag numbers. Book Cliffs, we're talking 6 tags in the fall.
Yeah.
San Juan and La Salle, 5 each. So, and I bring that up because somebody had asked about the houndsmen spreading themselves out over that much time. We're talking about 5 or 6 tags over, what, August, September, October, November, 4 months.
I'm talking a positive... My
where I was going with that was a positive net
yeah,
effect.
Sure.
Not a negative net effect.
No, I agree. I just wanted to add to that.
Right. So, well, hold on, guys. So let me just wrap up my comments here, and okay. then I'll pass the mic here. So from my perspective, we're looking at a proposal here. I understand, Darren, you got a little anxiety over it, but it seems like to me it makes sense. It's a win-win situation. I mean, it's something that we can always come back and fix later. I mean, I don't see any major, hurdles or conflicts that this is going to create. Again, understanding your reservations about it, but it just seems to make sense. You're going to alleviate pressure from some of your elk hunters and your archery hunters, and you're going to give houndsmen a lot more time in the field, and with the hope, and we'll never know until we try it, right, that they actually spread themselves out a little bit. I mean, it makes sense to me, and I would, absent some other compelling reason, I would tend to support that proposal.
Got a couple questions on it. If we did go with that proposal, how does that affect the spot and stock no dogs on the San Juan and LaSalle hunts?
We'd obviously have to go back and restructure some things, and so
because that's the whole month of October.
Right, and the idea there was that this is a way to put bear hunters in the field, and maybe even hunters that have big game permits that while they're out could take a bear on that spot and stock hunt.
And that's a low percentage
right.
success rate.
And there's a lot of permits in that hunt. That hunt, there's still an opportunity to spot and stock, during a bait and hound hunt. You can hunt spot and stock during that season if you want, but we'll have to go back and figure out how we're going to change things.
Go ahead.
What would be the repercussions? I mean, what would be? Is there a reason we couldn't run those in conjunction with each other?
I guess not. I mean, that's probably what we would have to do, Ben, is because we don't want to dump all those bought and stock tags into that fall hunt. And then, there's
sure. yeah,
five,
absolutely.
And then suddenly there's 30.
Right.
So we'd have to, again, we'd have to figure out how we wanted to adjust if we did that.
I love the idea of getting more days of field for any hunter. I don't care what kind of hunter you are. And bears aren't more important than elk.
Or
vice versa. Exactly. It's hunters are hunters, in my opinion. I do worry a little bit about how I've heard that this addresses archery hunters and archery hunters and archery hunters, yeah. and then limited entry elk hunters, but it doesn't address rifle hunters. It doesn't address other hunters that could be the conflict. And while I'm not a houndsman, I have dogs and I have livestock dogs, and I don't know that I'd want my dogs in the field when other people have rifles. And so I know that's a gamble on the houndsman to take his hounds and do that. That's up to him. But I worry that this could create other conflicts. We're trying to protect this one conflict, but we're going to create other conflicts, and not being as sage as some of the members of this group on this topic, I'm a little bit hesitant to go along with this proposal without knowing more compelling reasons, I guess.
That's fair, Mike, and I just want to make a couple clarifications. You bring up some good points. So we're only talking about a specific few units here where, particularly the San Juan, going back to that unit, there was, a few tags for elk hunters. They felt like they spent a long time waiting for them, and the conflict issue there was real. When we look at a lot of these other units, during those limited entry hunts or other rifle hunts, there's some of those restrictions are not there for the other units. But what this proposal does do is at least make sure that the entire limited entry elk hunt does not have dogs with a new proposal.
Well, I understand that, but it puts the entirety of the limited entry rifle deer hunt having dogs, and those, I mean, if we want to compare people, you know, those, this person waited 18 years and this person waited 12 years, you know, 6-year difference. It's not, I don't know, I'm hesitant to make such a change. I'd love to, you know.
Yeah, and just to be clear, it's already there on the book cliffs. It's all of October.
I do understand that. And the San Juan, that includes the San Juan Abajo General Season Deer Unit and the San Juan Elk Ridge Limited Entry Units, correct?
The whole thing.
Yeah. So it's I don't know. I and even the houndsmen are split on it, which is interesting to me.
So,
well, I have to say, I have to thank Ben for elaborating on, you know, like I said, I'm a public speaker, I don't do very good, but we, you know, as far as this proposal, we've had an overabundance of, at the committee, you know, is unanimous, you know, with this proposal, and I forgot to mention, and mention this to Ron, just like the rec to vote on that tonight. So, thank you.
Yep.
One more. No, I haven't had a chance. So it seems like got to keep them separated. So we've talked a lot about the La Salle and San Juan. That makes all the sense to me. But we haven't really talked about the book cliffs. It seems like we got to keep them separated.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's kind of where I was just going to go. One thing we didn't discuss in the Bear Committee is the effect of this kind of a season structure on San Juan and La Salle with those spot and stock tags. And I think Darren has some good merit there in maybe needing some time to think about that. On the book list, though, and that's where the primary discussion was, I still think it's a good idea. One other thing I'll mention, if we were to implement this on the book list, the other recommendation that I don't think we've discussed yet that came out of the committee is if these seasons were to be implemented on the book cliffs, there's currently a August season archery only bait hunt that wouldn't really make sense anymore, and it was the committee's recommendation to eliminate that if we went forward with these season structures. So I might be of the opinion that we give the division the time that they're asking for on San Juan and La Salle, but I still think that the book list has significant merit to look at tonight.
And I can see that on the book cliffs as being a possibility more than on the other two with the different hunt structures and, you know, general season and limited entry type, you know, might be a good one to try it on. What would you do with those permits that you would take out of the archery bait hunt?
Well, yeah, we'd have to figure out how we want to. Now, obviously, archery only is a much lower success hunt, and so, you know, permits don't necessarily equate, but we'd have to figure out what we wanted to do there, and you know, we'd go to the plan and figure out where we needed to be.
So for reference, Mike, there's two units. There's the Bitter Creek South and the Little Creek Roadless on that archery hunt.
11 tags.
Yeah, 13. There's 7 and 6. I think that's an increase from last year, but in the last 2 years, I don't think we've killed more than maybe 3 bears in the last 3 years on those hunts.
Sounds right.
So a very low success hunt.
So we could put those 3 tags into the hounds hunt, or we could put them into a spot and stalk, something like that. He has something.
Or,
I don't know.
Or the spring or the summer.
Yeah.
I think that might be the better place to put them, as opposed to.
Yeah.
Where we kind of figured out the 5's kind of the magic number on well, at least on San Juan and La Salle.
Yeah.
State your name again, please.
Chet Young. Hey, Ben, there's only 6 tags in the fall for the book cliffs, the one we're trying to address. What's wrong with just mimicking the San Juan and La Salle season dates? That's what it's been for years and years, and the hound hunting for bears in that fall time was there long before these big bull hunts and stuff started. I mean, the book cliffs is huge. You're talking 6 houndsmen. Why not just mimic the San Juan and La Salle and keep it the way it's been for years.
Yeah, so the reason behind that is, you're right, the Book Cliffs is a huge unit. However, as we discussed at length in this committee, a lot of the habitat in that August, early September season that is holding both bears, deer, and elk is all very concentrated, as well as the road access, to where it puts all those hunters on top of each other at that time frame. In addition to that, I would add that, as I had mentioned earlier, throughout the entire state, the Book Cliffs is the only unit in the entire state where I have actually received feedback from membership that that they are having significant conflicts with houndsmen during that archery hunt. I haven't received that feedback on any other unit in the state except for the Book Cliffs. And I believe the reason why is because of the concentration of all the game and all the hunters, even though it's a big unit, all in one small area. Smallish area at that time.
Okay.
So that's why.
And just for feedback, I spent 3 weeks out there about 4 years ago with hounds. Never had no conflicts with anybody on that fall hunt. I've never seen another houndsman. So, you know, that tells me that the spread of the houndsman was pretty wide. 3 weeks, I never seen another houndsman.
Did you get a bear?
We caught a couple, but we didn't kill one.
All right, guys. Okay, we're going to...
Can I have one more comment?
Real quick, because we're going to wrap this up.
Now that I've heard the whole proposal, to answer Chris's question, I agree with Chet, put the Book Cliffs back to the same season as LaSalle and San Juan, back the way it originally was. The question you asked me, no, I don't agree with that. Thanks, Chris.
All right, guys, we've gone over this, and there's a few different ideas out there. As far as I can kind of get in my mind, we have about three different choices at this point. One is to accept the recommendation of the division in its entirety. One would be to accept the recommendations of the division as well as accept the date change on the Book Cliffs. And the other one would be to accept not only that, but also with the addition on the San Juan and the La Salles. I guess there would be four. Or you can just accept the recommendation and the San Juan and La Salles only. So I'm all ears. Anybody have a motion in mind?
Yeah, I'm going to start out with a motion here. I'll just tackle an amendment only. I'm going to make an amendment to accept the Houndsman Association's proposal regarding the LaSalle, San Juan, and Book Cliffs fall season dates for 2018.
Do I have a second on that? Okay, I don't see a second, so motion fails. Number two.
I'll make a motion that we accept the Houndsman proposal specific to the Book Cliffs unit for those season dates on the Book Cliffs, but exclude the San Juan and the South for the reason of the lack of discussion on the do with the spotted stockings.
Do you guys want to include the recommendations of the division with that as an addition as well?
No.
Or just by itself?
No, just by itself.
Yeah. Okay.
In addition, I would add to that that we eliminate the August archery-only hunt on the Book Cliffs.
Can we have a little more discussion on that before we vote?
Yeah,
that'd be okay.
Well, we need to get a second again anyway on that because he changed.
I don't have enough information to.
Right, he changed the midstream after a second.
Sorry. I guess I wasn't done. Let me restate. My motion is to accept the Houndsman proposal on the Book Cliffs unit only, and in addition to eliminate the Book Cliffs August archery only bear hunt. Danny, that's the hunt that it's in early August through early September. It's a bait only archery only hunt with very low success, and it would overlap these season dates if we accepted this, hence the reason for eliminating it.
Harvested three bears last year.
Last year?
I think so. Archery only.
Okay. And prior was maybe one. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
All right, so I just have a question then. So if we don't feel comfortable doing it on the LaSalle's and the San Juan's, just a question here, Ben. It feels like if we're not comfortable there, the pendulum is swinging too far on this one unit. It's going to become the most liberal unit season dates-wise.
So let me
in the table.
Yeah, let me explain why I like this on San Juan on the LaSalle. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm not comfortable with it on San Juan on the LaSalle yet is because of those high number of spot and stock tags in October, and maybe it's not an issue, but that wasn't really discussed in the committee, and that's where I'm uncomfortable with the lack of discussion as to how we would treat those.
Would it make more sense to just mimic the LaSalle and San Juan as a first move rather than...
No. I couldn't support that for the reason of then you would be 100% overlap of hounds on the book cliffs during the archery hunt. On San Juan and LaSalle, I don't have an issue with that. But on the book cliffs, I do.
For the reasons you stated earlier.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, we had a motion by Ben, and we have a second by Danny. Is that still correct?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and vote on this, and I'm going to have to re-clarify this since it's been about 5 minutes. Debbie, you ready?
Ready.
I'm going to try to do this. If I screw it up, blame Bear. He's here. Or do you leave? If he left, we'll still blame him. Ben made a motion to accept the Houndsman's recommendations on the book cliffs and eliminate the early archery only bait hunt in August.
Yep.
And Danny seconded. Am I right so far?
Barely.
Yep. Okay. That's what I have. So let's go ahead and vote on this alone. All those in favor of that? We got 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7. 7-4 and 1 against.
Two.
Or 2 against, sorry. All those against, I'll clarify then. All those against? 2. Ken and Brock.
Could I ask a question?
So the motion.
I'm not necessarily against. I just would rather see it come as a full proposal with all three units being modified. So I was going to make a motion that we ask the board to add to the action log that they look at a similar season structure on the LaSalle and the San Juan units.
We could still do that.
So yeah. So that I will make that motion.
So we have a motion to have the division make an action log on the San Juan and the LaSalle units, correct? Do I have a second on that? Ben seconds that. Let's vote on that. All those in favor of that? Unanimous. Do I have a motion on the...
I've got a motion that I'd like to make, and we'll see how it goes. On the LaSalle and the San Juan season dates, to start the date on August 6th, which is the day after their pursuit season closes. So that would add 5 days to their fall hunt, which would add more opportunity. We've got 5 dead days there. And then what that may do is that may alleviate pressure on the tail end by maybe they are able to harvest earlier and leave the mountain, which would eliminate some conflicts. So it would add 5 days to the hunt.
Yeah, and I'll second that primarily because, you know, it kind of eliminates downtime and dead time, which I find is a problem for elk, deer, bear, anything, so, and hunters too.
Okay, there's a motion to start. Is it the San Juan and the LaSalle's both on August 6th?
Yes.
As the start date, and I have a second by Danny.
So, just to clarify, does that change the end date?
It does not change the end date. I don't think that would fly.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and vote on that. All those in favor? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Is that correct? 9 in favor, 1 against. Against is Ken. Motion carries. Do I have a motion on the black bear recommendation and rule and amendments as presented tonight by Darren?
I'll move that we accept the balance.
I second that motion.
Okay, this is a motion to to approve the balance of the black bear recommendations and rule amendments, and we have a motion and a second. Can we have a vote on that, please? All those in favor? Okay, and all those against? We have 9-2, I believe. Is that correct? I'll do my math right here.
Could we have reasoning for the against?
The opposition.
Opposition?
Sure. My reason is it's just the increase in the very large increase in bear permits. That's it.
And I agree with what Danny said, and I just don't feel like we have a good idea actual number of bears in the state.
I support it because I think the way this conversation evolved, sounds like a great compromise for the most hunters' interest. But if we can add the action item, I think Jason made the point that if you jigger the numbers every year, you can make them work. And so if the division could work in a way to do a 2 to 3 year watch period, if that's feasible, that would be my recommendation while supporting this.
I think in some ways they're doing that already on the LaSalle and the San Juan, doing a 3 year study on each one, aren't you?
Right, but statewide.
Well, so I would disagree with that.
I would agree. I would disagree with that as well.
Because I'm gonna make the analogy to how we manage deer and elk. We manage deer and elk to the conditions that we have right now, mm-hmm. and to the data that we have right now, and
to the management plan.
And we're reactive when there's a weather issue that decreases the deer population, we cut tags. When we have a surplus of population, we increase tags. It doesn't make sense to me that we wouldn't manage bears or any other animal the same way. Mm-hmm. I think if we can manage to what we know right now, that's the best management we can have.
I would also make the comment on the fact is that the harvest tells a lot. And you know, when we know the age of the harvest, it does give us a pretty good idea on what is in the field still. If you're getting a lot of yearlings and young bear, that would obviously tell you that we're running out of resource and we're overhunting it.
Yeah, and I just hope that we understand that, you know, that some of us represent different, you know, clientele or different representatives and different people. Okay, we're good.
That's why we're all on the board. That's why we're on the rack, to have everybody's different opinion. I do not have anything else on the agenda tonight. I appreciate everybody's input. I realize that we're all emotional and we all have different feelings towards how we like to manage our state lands and how we like to hunt and how we like to go out and do things. And it's really hard to balance that out, especially when we have so many different interests and so many different sportsmen, and everybody wants to be out in the and have their own little piece of the woods and enjoy that and ideally not have any conflicts with anybody and be able to enjoy what God has created for us. And so I understand that that doesn't always work, and I understand that conflict is tough, and just like any type that we've even the decisions that were made tonight, the beautiful part about it, if we have an issue with that, we can readdress that next year and say, hey, you know what, it was a great idea then, but maybe not such a great idea today. So we can do that. And so I appreciate your input, because this doesn't happen without everybody's input. And so everybody have a great Christmas season, and we'll see you next year.